Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster. Today, Alan Goodman on policy developments in the US to address platform information disorders.
Okay, so like Michael, I'm not going to be able to give you a tidy single proposal. We have activity coming from everywhere. I guess I will say, and I'm going to briefly address these things. You know, this happens in a context in which we have a new administration that is running as fast as it can to deliver results to change people's lives before the 2022 election. We have the sort of trauma of January 6th and what that means to people. And we have a very stark political divide on what the whether there is an information disorder and what it is. So that's the context. The most active area of reform is to reform Section 230, the platform immunity. And it's coming in, I would say, maybe three or four different directions. And here I've just addressed three. So these are all draft bills. And, you know, it would be nice if I could tell you which is the leading contender, but I really can't. And it may be that none of them will pass, and it may be that some combination of them will pass. And then there's another set of proposals that takes things in a very different direction. So some of them would remove Section 230 immunity, so thereby subject platforms to liability when the platform has amplified and or recommended content. Each of these has serious problems, serious definitional problems, and in some cases, constitutional problems. I'll just say that to bracket them. There's another set of proposals, one leading one, that would remove immunity when the platform has monetized content, either through advertising or perhaps, you know, simply just like a cloud services taking remuneration. And then a third set would, and this is probably the most modest set and therefore maybe the most likely to pass, are a set of bills that would simply expand the content categories that are carved out of the immunity. So for example, federal criminal law is already not subject to the immunity, and they would add to that violations of civil rights laws, harassment, and stalking. I do want to say that you know, the US, unlike Europe, for the most part, most of the content is legal, right? There are very few categories of illegal content that would actually be affected by exposure to liability. So in many ways, there is more fire around or smoke around the Section 230 debate than there is fire. Now, all of these proposals also have provisions, some one, some another, some all of them, that would deal with transparency of algorithms, researcher access to data, audits and reporting requirements, and user due process. And this is why it's hard for me to fill out that table, because they're all sort of in play, but we don't know which ones will get picked up. There are also proposals to subsidize local news. There has been, since the last economic crisis in 2009, a sort of cottage industry, both in the philanthropic arena and in the policy arena, developing ideas for how do we rescue news. And in the US, most of the conversation is about local news. There are, I think in the last 5 years, we've lost local newspapers in about 200 towns and cities. So we call them news deserts. There is widespread agreement that this is a crisis. There is also widespread antipathy to increasing subsidies for journalism. So as you probably know, our public media system is principally a locally based system, and it's funded principally through private funding with just a little bit of government funding. However, there are very robust civil society proposals that would tax the platforms, you know, along the lines, I think, Michael, of it sounds like what Canada is thinking of, tax the platforms to subsidize news. I can say that, you know, the leading contender in the policy arena is Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington. Her proposals, she does have a pretty nice report on the news crisis, the journalism crisis. It does slam the platforms and holds them at least partially responsible. However, I have to say that the legislative proposals are pretty weak, and this is because of, as I said, the antipathy to funding journalism. So it would really just be around the edges. It would allow for publishers to engage in collective bargaining. It would include some tax relief for journalists, etc. So there is a large gap between the civil society proposals and the actual policy proposals. If I had to pick a proposal that was most likely to become law, I would bet on some bills that would require data portability and interoperability. Now, there are some freestanding bills that do this. This is also part of an omnibus federal privacy law. As you probably know, the US has no federal privacy law. It's been in the works for a million years, and everyone thinks 2021 is the year. So it would also, could also address this. So I won't get into the details. I think you all know what's relatively similar to what Alorna was talking about with portability and interoperability. And, you know, many people think this would have an effect on information disorders because you could begin to have competition in sort of algorithmic filters, including kind of sort of civic information filter. I don't know if people who like QAnon would ever adopt such a filter. So it has the risk of further polarizing and segmenting the population, but I think this proposal has legs. Now, if the federal level weren't confusing enough and fractured enough, we actually have, a lot of action is happening at the state level because the federal government has been so dysfunctional that the states are stepping in. So what we've just seen is Maryland has adopted a law to impose a tax that scales based on the size of the platform on revenue from digital ads displayed to the citizens of Maryland. So again, you have sort of, you know, the extraterritorial effect of the state laws on sort of operations within the other states. And that's what we've seen. It's not clear that Maryland, as a small state, has the heft to do that. It is very clear that California, if it were to do something like this, would have extraterritorial effect on the other states. So now I have to say that this law, I think, has a high likelihood of being struck down on various legal grounds, but other states may learn from that and do the same thing with a slightly different legal tact. There is also a lot of action on antitrust enforcement. This House report on digital markets was, I think, you know, along the lines of the Australian report. I don't think it was quite as good, although it's very good. And I think it's had a real stimulating effect on how our antitrust authorities, including in the states, are thinking about the platform. So we already have an FTC, Federal Trade Commission, action and a coalition of states going after Facebook. The Department of Justice is going after Google, as well as a different coalition of states. And I have to say, these are both Republican and Democratically led attorneys general in the states. And the remedies, you know, are quite serious and would include Google spinning off businesses and Facebook divesting businesses. But of course, this is years in the future by the time these suits get resolved. And then finally, I'll just say, you know, always there's comprehensive privacy law kind of in the offing. And, you know, I won't go through and here too, there's been activity in the states. You know, of course, California went first, and California just in the last election adopted an amendment to its own GDPR-like privacy law, which has not yet been reduced to regulation. But that is an impetus also for federal privacy law, because nobody likes nobody outside of California likes California kind of making policy for the country. So Washington is very close to adopting one. Illinois and New York are a little bit further behind. And so, you know, it, in addition to whatever the sort of privacy related provisions the federal bill will have, and again, Senator Cantwell's Consumer Online Privacy Rights Act is the leading contender. It is very likely that this becomes a vehicle for attaching other kinds of provisions that deal with some of the other things we've been talking about. And lastly, I will say, you know, because things are moving very fast, you know, we have a COVID relief bill that is will likely be passed through what's called budget reconciliation by a mere majority. So in our undemocratic process, we require a supermajority usually to pass legislation, but this will go through the special process, and there is there, it's not clear what will stay in that bill. It will just be passed by Democrats, but it also may have some provisions to fund local news and possibly even to sort of set up kind of an algorithmic transparency task force and some other things. And with that, I will end. Thank you.
That was Alan Goodman on policy developments in the US to address platform information disorders. You've listened to Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster.